Friends with beer?
Peter of Nicolaides.
Scott of Wisely.
Yes, very wisely. I already opened my beer, so I can't do a beer cracking sound.
Ah, well, you know what? Last week, I had already opened my beer, so this time, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It's my turn.
I have to say that on the Beer Sides episode, I don't know if you listened to our podcast or not, but on the Beer Sides episode, I did make a very satisfying beer cracking open sound.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. That's why I waited this time, even though it got a little warm.
But your sound is better because that's a bottle and that's way more satisfying.
Indeed. So what are you drinking today, Scott?
I am drinking a Rogue Kolsch style honeybee ale.
Sweet. That sounds good.
Yeah, and it's less calories than that other one, and that's good too. It's 100. It's about 144, 145 calories for 12 ounces, so that's easy to work into a dietary budget.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
I am drinking Victory's seasonal favorites, Summer Love Golden Ale. It's 5.2% alcohol, so about 150 calories for a 12-ouncer.
That's not bad.
Yep. I've never had this beer before, and I've had their Victory Monkey, Golden Monkey, which is a Belgian style, which is pretty darn good. You know, it's 9%, 9.5%.
I would buy that just for the name.
Oh, yeah, it's good. It's a good beer, too. It's comparable to, like, Three Philosophers.
Mm.
But I decided that I wanted to try to do a new beer. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do a new beer every single episode, but I thought it was worth a try, so I bought a new one today.
If you're not going to get a new beer every episode.
I don't want to drink with someone that's selfish.
Well, I just took my first sip of Summer Love, and it's pretty good.
Does it make you love summer?
It is pretty good. Love at first sip.
Are you, is this summer love thing? Or is this becoming a romance podcast?
Can we just introduce ourselves and move on?
I think we already did. I'm Scott.
I'm Peter.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So what are we talking about this week?
Good talk. We got some feedback from Vic. Did we go over this before?
From who?
From Vic Hudson.
Who's that?
He is a person. And he thinks that you and I have good chemistry, which I think he's talking about the beer. Whoever mixed the beers did a really good job. Whoever brewed these.
Indeed.
He wanted to correct me. He doesn't have problems with domains like friendswith.beer. He does not like the cutesy ones where they split a word with the period. Like him and I were doing a Hugo theme and yes, we're calling it Empire. And I had Empire for Hugo the.me, which the.me means theme. He didn't like that. And I get that. I understand that.
So he would not have liked it if we were friends with b.er.
Right. If there was such a thing. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And I understand that. I get that more than not liking friends with that beer. Because to me, if you can't remember friends with that beer, my God, you've probably been drinking too many beers.
I tell you, as clever as you want and as relevant and descriptive as these new TLDs like .beer are, I still say friendswithbeer.com because that's what people are used to.
That's what you say, but they are selling all these TLDs and people are buying them.
Mm-hmm.
People have to learn to change.
People don't like to learn to change.
People were also used to pagers, but somehow they got over that.
One of my largest clients still sells pagers.
Well, your largest client is a dick.
And the other of my largest clients is still making heavy use of pagers.
Well, as Nate would say.
Ted, what the fuck going on?
Yeah, sure.
I have Ted Lasso clips because we're going to start doing Ted Lasso on Bulbasaur TV.
Oh, excellent. I did just watch it. I binged Ted Lasso.
Everyone should binge Ted Lasso.
After I binged C. Yeah, it was fun.
Z, what's Z?
C, S-E-E.
Oh, okay.
It's the one with Jason Momoa.
Not that many people like that. What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it. I liked it. Frankly, I liked it better than Ted Lasso, although
Are
Ted Lasso was enjoyable. No, I liked it. Ted Lasso was fine, but I prefer action adventure.
But you got to remember, so this came in the midst of the effing pandemic and the year that was 2020. It was a bright spot. It was a non-cynical bright spot in a year full of shit people. I think that had a lot to do with it, which has me a little bit concerned about season 2 because I'm not really sure how they can improve upon it because the timing's different. And also I feel like the story arc was complete with one season.
Yeah. No, I agree. No, I'm not. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I don't like it. It's just like, if your favorite food in the world, what's your favorite food in the world, Scott?
Lots of different Japanese foods.
Okay. Like, but just if you had, I won't do that cliche of like, oh, if you had one food that you could eat for the rest of your life, but like, what would you say is your favorite dish? Just pick some. It doesn't have to be even accurate.
I love me some good nigiri sushi. If I could only pick one, I would probably go with that. But then,
okay,
then
there's... you don't overthink it. Okay, so nigiri sushi is your favorite food. Mm-hmm. And now, what do you think of beef lo mein?
I mean, it's not bad.
Okay, it's not bad. Now, what if I gave you the world's best cup of beef lo mein? You're going to say, okay, yeah, for beef lo mein, it's still pretty good, but wouldn't you rather have some really, really epic nigiri sushi? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get it, but I just don't buy the comparison of sea to good nigiri sushi, I guess, where I'm going. I just don't.
But what? So the comparison is you like a certain thing, mm-hmm. and I like a certain thing, and your certain thing is a genre of food. My certain thing is a genre of TV or movies. And when you take me out of that certain thing, I'm not going to feel as strongly about the thing that you like as much. So
I'm different, I guess, because I don't normally like comedies along the Ted Lasso lines, and I don't mm-hmm. normally like ripoffs of plots. Like that plot of that came right out of Major League, the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I was blown away. Like I was just surprised by it. It wasn't what I expected. It didn't go where I expected, and I enjoyed it. I did not expect it to be the type of thing that I would like. And it's not the genre that I like the most either, by far. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, and don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. I watched every episode and I looked forward to it. So I did enjoy it. It's just, if I'm going to sit down and watch TV, that's not the genre that I would normally sit down and subscribe to.
No, I agree. I just, although there are certain things that I gravitate towards more, I've had enough examples of things outside those being better than some of the stuff inside that I thought I'd prefer more, that I really don't use that as a criteria anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, so I would say, yes, go ahead, watch Ted Lasso. I would give it a thumbs up. I would not say subscribe to Apple TV Plus just so you can, watch it. But if you have it, then you've got it.
Go buy a super expensive Apple device and you can get a trial of Apple TV Plus for free. It's totally worth it. You can save $5 a month by spending $1,000.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Do the math.
Yep, do the math. Do the math.
What else we got?
Well, let's just skip over the part where I called you guys both domain name losers.
How's your beer?
My beer is really good. It's quite good. It's very light. It's very good for summer. It's, very good. I like this beer a lot. This is a good one. My wife mm-hmm. will drink these. She likes these. She is definitely not a dark beer drinker, and she hardly drinks beer at all, but she does like this one quite a bit.
Well, there you go.
All right. So last time I had concerns about people like Lex Fridman and Friedman, I guess, and more so Ham Saris, Peter.
Ham Saris has some concerns. Yes, sure.
Yeah, I've only had two glasses of beer and absolutely no ham. But anyway, so I was a little let down by Lex with his apparent hero worship of guys like Sam Harris, but YouTube kept recommending him to me even after I unsubscribed. And I saw that he has a really amazing interview with a woman named Yeonmi Park. She was a North Korean. She escaped through, somehow she wound up in China. I haven't read her book. I have read a fascinating book about a very similar escape of a woman from North Korea. Then she finally escaped South Korea. But she talks about how when you're living in North Korea, you are so isolated that it is like living in a different universe. And when you get out of there, it's like you were dumped on another planet and you mm-hmm. have to learn how this planet functions and what are these aliens, and that many of the things that you've believed your entire life are wrong. And it's a really fascinating interview.
Hmm.
So good for him. Good for her.
All right. I have not watched that, but have been listening to some interesting podcasts lately, a bunch actually.
Right.
And watching some interesting TED Talks and stuff on YouTube.
Ted Lasso Talks?
No, TEDx Talks, but not TED L Talks.
Mm.
But I did, as of today, my latest and last class in my bachelor's in IS begins today, my final class. And I have done all except the final week 7 assignments.
What is IS? Is that iguana sharing?
Integrated studies.
Oh.
I just say IS because then people normally figure information security or information systems.
I actually did think it was information security.
Yep, but it's not. So the class starts today, and I spent most of the weekend doing the homework. And I pretty much finished a 7-week accelerated course in the over the span of a weekend, and not even the whole weekend. Really, it was about a day.
So what you're saying is this course is useless because it's so easy that anyone can do it, even a caveman.
No, I'm starting to think that this is one of those cases where my prior experience has very well prepared me for this course.
Mm.
But, I mean, that said, it is a walk in the park compared to the last class that I just took. So, yeah. But, it's interesting, it's useful, but it really just reaffirms that I already know a lot about this stuff. And frankly, a lot of what I've learned about it has come from podcasts.
What is this stuff that you know a lot about? Explain this integration thing to me.
This class is management. This is a class in management and managing organizational change. So lots of concepts, topics about, say, personality types and stereotypes, communication patterns, how people self-organize, how to perform change, what motivates folks, lots of different things like that. All concepts with pretty much... I haven't learned anything really new in this class at all. I've learned a few names for some things, but I haven't learned I had no idea that people had motivational factors that caused them to do things. Wow, that's fascinating. You know, not a complete waste of time like some of my classes have been, for sure.
I've known for decades that people have motivational factors. I see it all the time at work.
Oh, yeah.
And I am amazed at what sometimes people will cite as their motivational factors. Like because I'm changing groups, we were trying to backfill my position. Normally there's way more people. Like if we have one position open for the job I was just doing, there will be 7 or 8 people easy applying for it, right? People from our group. Nobody from our group wanted it. And one of the other guys who does my job, same job, was talking to some of his people. And he was like, what's going on? And they're like, we don't want to do more work for the same pay. Well, first of all, it's not the same pay. Eventually, you can get promoted to higher grade levels. And then secondly, we have more freedom than they do. Like they sit at a stupid command center watching equipment run all day long and responding to stupid equipment failures that would drive me insane.
They're just like a bunch of like operators or something.
That's exactly what they are.
Right.
And
well,
what I'm thinking is, look, if you're going to be there for 12 hours a day and you're going to get paid X amount of money, why not enjoy yourself as much as you can and have freedom and be able to run around and do a variety of things and not sit there in one place all day? Even if the pay is the same, why would you not do that? It makes no sense to me. It's not like my job is stressful. Yeah, there's days where I'm annoyed or stressed, but when I come home, I forget about it. It's not, I don't know. It's weird. So people's motivation, when people tell me that, well, I get paid to be here, so it doesn't matter how boring it is, I can't understand that, Peter. Like, I cannot understand being willing to be bored at work for any amount of money. It's your life. It's your precious minutes ticking away.
Some people are different, dude. That's all I got for you.
I don't get it. How do you turn your brain off? Your curious brain that wants to know things. How do things work? How can I fix this problem? Blah, blah, blah.
Not everybody has that.
Why? Did their parents hate them? Did they drop them on their heads?
It's an evolutionary thing, dude. Everybody's different. Keep telling you that.
Everyone has that when they're a child. All children are curious. Yeah, it's how they learn how to be a human being, Peter.
Not everyone does. Some people are not circuit. Some people are quote-unquote broken.
No, I don't believe that. I believe the schools beat it out of people. I believe that as they grow up, they lose that. All children have that or they wouldn't learn how to be human beings. They have so much to absorb into their little sponge brains that all children, all infants, all toddlers have that curiosity. And then eventually it goes away. But I don't understand grown adults who haven't at least tried to remember what that's like at all. I just don't get it. Man, we didn't even have that talk planned, but that felt good. Woo!
I'm glad you feel good.
So anyway, tell me about the podcast that we never talked about that you were listening to that helped reaffirm your knowledge of change, management change, and organizational change.
Well, it was really kind of funny. So one of the podcasts I listen to a lot is the Jordan Harbinger show, because he's got it's just one interview after another, and he's got some really good ones. As it happens, one of the lectures for one of the assignments in this class that I took/am taking was by Daniel Pink. He's written, I guess, several books at this point. The one you might have heard of is, hang on a second, I forget the title. One moment. Standing by.
Standing by with beer.
Thank you. With beer. To Sell is Human. That was his book. So he's one of the TED Talks they cite as a lecture in this class. As it happens, I watched his video, and then as I was getting ready for bed, I was like, okay, what's next on my podcast queue? Was his interview, which was one that was done a few years ago now on the Jordan Harbinger show. It was like a best of episode. Just happens to be like coming up in my queue, which I thought was hilarious. Amazing timing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Jordan Harbinger show, really good podcast, really good interviews. But I thought that was pretty amazing, because I love when the podcasts that I listen to are directly relevant to my course material. Another similar thing happened a few weeks ago when I was doing my final research project on critical thinking and why people are resistant to the COVID-19 vaccine. And then I just happened to stumble across Rob Reed being interviewed also on the Jordan Harbinger and on Sam Harris's podcast and on his own podcast, After On, which is also very relevant.
He was interviewed on his own podcast? Oh, he probably played one of those interviews on his own podcast.
Well, there were three different podcasts. There was his, there was Sam Harris's, and there was Jordan Harbinger. And each one was over an hour long, but there was a lot of material that was overlapping between them.
You don't say.
I do. They're all excellent. So that was good. And then I also shared with you Eighth Layer Security, that podcast. And I think it was the second episode, was geared all around echo chambers and filter bubbles and stuff. And again, directly related to the topic of my research. So,
yeah. And that podcast is ostensibly a security podcast. And indeed it is.
Correct.
But it goes deep into human psychology and why we believe the that we do. And, and just the whole human experience. Like, you always have to remember the fact that everything you know or think you know was handed to you by other people and therefore has to be suspect. And they don't say it exactly like that, but they do talk about how we absorb stuff. And what do they call them? Trojan horses for the mind. Now, I talk about mind viruses a lot, and those can be good or bad, but most ideas are viruses of a kind, because they're given to us by people who have some motivation for us to agree with their idea, and they want us to believe them, and it's a virus. It either infects us and we believe the idea, or it doesn't. That analogy doesn't work for all ideas, but it certainly works for philosophical and or dogmatic ideas.
So something that I took away from my previous class, the one that was not something that I finished in a weekend, was the elements of thought. And this was a class on critical thinking called Critical Inquiry. And what you're describing now is, like, you know, everything you have is handed to you by someone else. And, like, right off the bat, well, the first they're not really necessarily in order, but the way it's presented, the first element of thought is point of view. And, you know, so you got to factor in that whenever you're having a discussion or an argument or analyzing something, people's point of view comes into play. And it's something that you have to be, you know, you have to give some consideration to that. So we'll put a link in the show notes, but if you're interested in the elements of thought, well, you can also find it right at theelementsofthought.org. But they are, really quickly, their point of view, purpose, the question at issue, information, interpretation and inference, concepts, assumptions, and implications and consequences. And all of these, when you start to consider them in any sort of discussion or argument or topic, you see how they, you know, really affect one's perspective on things. So, yeah, it's interesting stuff.
It sounds cynical when we say things like this, but the truth of the matter is this is just how human minds function. But as Eighth Layer Insights podcast talks about, humans relate to story.
Yes.
And we can get people to believe our ideas if we present them with a story that they can mm-hmm. understand and that is attractive to their mind.
A compelling narrative, if you will.
A compelling narrative, if you will. And that doesn't necessarily mean that the story is true or false. It just means that humans are built to receive knowledge through that kind of story. And
correct.
Human beings basically use tactics to infect each other with their ideas. And again, that is intent neutral. It's just the way it works. Now, it's used by people with all kinds of intentions, everybody from Russian propagandists or, you know, whatever, to people who are trying to make sure that you live through your childhood.
Yep.
So it's just how we work, but you have to be aware that that's how humans work. You have to be aware that that's how you work.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean be suspicious and be afraid and don't take on ideas and be upset that you're a human being and your brain works that way, your lizard brain or whatever, but
be aware though. That's the way, you know, and just like the book by Daniel Pink on selling, right? As he's being introduced in the podcast, you know, the Jordan is introducing him and saying, like, you know, you can, whether you're in sales or not, you need to be aware of these things, because even if you don't use these techniques and these tactics, you should be able to recognize when they're being used against you.
Yeah. And I gotta say, this might offend some people, but
it won't be the first time.
Certain beliefs that I was brought up with, people who are in those belief systems often become salesmen of a type.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that, or you get a feeling that sometimes people don't see each other as human beings to be understood. They see each other as people to be converted to my point of view.
Yes.
And I am transparently being a salesman, and I have no genuine interest in this person beyond the fact that I think that they need to know my point of view so that they don't go to hell or whatever.
Sure.
Insert your whatever the bad thing is if they don't understand your point of view here.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that, man. I hate that.
The good news is if we can't convert them, we can just kill them.
Well, that's true. Can we?
Well, I mean,
you and I?
You and I mean, I suppose we could. We might get in trouble.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, should we, if we form a country, what could we call it? Something that rhymes with North Korea.
How about Scott and Peterville?
Ville? That sounds like a town, not a country.
Well, I mean, we got to start small. We can expand.
Okay. All right. So we're going to start with a village and work our way up to a...
It takes a village.
It takes a village to raise a bunch of imprisoned, mind-controlled people? Is that what you're saying?
Right. That's exactly what I said. So in lighter news...
Lighter news, lighter beer.
You and I have for years now, like more than 10 years, been users of, and I mean heavy users of, a program, a software program and service called Evernote.
Oh, good. When you said for years, you and I was afraid you were going to reveal some things to the listener that we were trying to keep secret.
Yeah, because I'm smart enough to reveal all those secrets that you and I keep on a podcast. So
yes,
back to Evernote. Now I'm still using Evernote. I have been a paid subscriber for years now.
As was I, yes.
Premium.
That's right.
I did dabble with OneNote trying to convert over, and I really didn't like it. But for years, I remember people, friends, acquaintances of ours would say things to you like...
Those were no friends, Peter.
Just use Notes. You can just use Apple Notes. You can do that every... You know, why don't you just use that for Evernote? And for years, you would say, like, dude, you just don't get it. You know, Evernote is way more than just notes, right?
Right. Because I use Evernote, and I believe you do as well. It's just a grand filing cabinet.
Pretty much. I throw all kinds of stuff in there.
Right. Audio files, PDFs, you name it.
All kinds of stuff. I just...
text documents, receipts, yeah. Whatever.
Because unlike something like Dropbox or OneDrive, which has an upper limit on the amount of storage, Evernote only caps you on the amount of data you can shove into it over the course of a month.
That's right. So you can have a million terabytes there if you can get it in there fast.
It might take you time to get there, right?
Right, right.
But you don't have to ever worry. You know, you have to worry about the rate at which you're capturing data, but you don't have to worry about how much stuff you're going to have, which is like, you know, with Dropbox and other things, I would always end up like stuffing more.
Yeah, with those, you could upload everything in one day, but you might hit your limit of stuff that you can add.
Exactly. Plus, you know, they're not note-taking apps, which Evernote is. And, you know, I actually do use it to take notes, videos, voice memos, snapshots, filing cabinet, etc.
Sure.
But for me, Evernote has always just been like, it's a nice, big, giant... there's some structure to it, but I just like throw everything in Evernote. Like a lot of people, I'm sure, just do this with, you know, like a big folder on their hard. A lot of people's hard drives is just this unstructured garbage mess thing, but they can never find anything.
Yeah. Most people at work, that's called their desktop.
Yeah, exactly. And other people, it's called their inbox, mm-hmm. right?
Or their downloads folder or whatever.
Exactly. And now just the fact that, you know, the tone that you and I have taken on these people shows very clearly what you and I think of these people.
Oh, no, that should never be taken as representative of how we
feel. No, we don't have any sort of, we're not looking down on you idiots at all. Anyway, but for years, and I mean years, I have been listening to you tell me how other people have been telling you, oh, you know, just use Apple Notes. Why are you using Evernote? So, much to my surprise,
and mine,
you're now telling me how you're just switching to Apple Notes from Evernote. So, Scott, what happened?
Well, first of all, slight correction. You haven't just been listening to me for years tell you about these people. You've been for years listening to me be amazingly and extremely disgusted by those people.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I'm like, and I'm one of them too. I'm like, I'm standing on the side like... Yeah, no, you don't understand. You think Evernote is just a giant cloud storage notepad, and it's not.
The thing that got me to revisit Apple Notes after a long period of time of not really paying attention to it, first of all, there's a couple different things. One, a few years ago, they did add some great capabilities to it, but it was ugly. They made the background that you could not change like a textured piece of paper, and it made all the text fuzzy. It just was terrible. That was a downside. But the other thing was it just couldn't hold all the different types of content that Evernote could at the time when I last looked at it. The other thing, too, is I had it in my brain that I needed something like Evernote, which stores everything in the cloud and only downloads it when you need it. Because I have a lot of stuff in there, and I thought, there's no way that I can have this on my devices. Now, one of the things that has changed is the amount of storage on all my devices is getting larger and larger and larger. That is not a problem for me anymore. And in fact, when I made this transition, I realized how little of that stuff I actually needed. I went through thousands of notes, dude, just to see what I actually needed to keep and what I could get rid of. I got rid of a lot of stuff that I thought seemed important, but I never looked at again. So the things that made a difference for me is notes can now contain all the same types of content that Evernote can. Audio files, PDFs, notes, documents, web links, you name it, and they're easy to add as well. And that was another thing. My wife and I tried an app called Craft, which is really popular. It sucked. We could not. First of all, it's got a weird interface / use case. My wife hated it. I kind of hated it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not trying to sell her on this anymore because I can't stand it either. So we abandoned that. But what got me to go back to notes again was iPad OS 15, because it has a thing called Quick Note where you swipe up from the bottom right corner of the screen with either your finger or your pencil, and it brings up a thing called Quick Note. And if you're on a web page, for example, it'll ask if you want to add a link. It's kind of content aware. And also another cool thing about it is if you go to a web page that you've created a quick note from in the past, it'll show you down in the corner hovering over the Safari window. It'll show you, oh, you've got a note on this if you want to add more information about it, which is pretty cool. But the texturing issues are all gone. It's just a freaking app now. It doesn't have a textured background. It can be dark mode or light mode. and it can hold all the different types of content that I need. And I can share folders with my wife. We can share stuff and it doesn't cost a dime. And it just works. It can actually replace Evernote for me now. It's not that I was wrong before. It's just that now, because of devices with more storage space and just a whole, just everything at once came together, and I was like, okay, I can actually do this now.
So in other news, mm-hmm. do you think Apple will ever do a touchscreen Mac?
I don't know, because so far they've steadfastly been in against it. I guess against it is a hard thing to prove, but by their actions, they've been steadfastly against it.
Yeah, I mean, we know they have the technology to do touchscreens, uh-huh. right? And, you know, so I was going to say, like, you know, why wouldn't they do it? The only thing I can think why they wouldn't do it is because they wouldn't want it to compete with the iPad for some reason, you know, or confuse their users or something. But I don't, you and I, you know, we probably don't think that makes much sense, but I don't know why they would not do a touchscreen Mac.
The only thing I can think of is that would actually make sense. Because I'm not one of those people who thinks that, well, they shouldn't do it because I believe in the status quo. I don't believe in the status quo. The status quo is just something that arbitrarily somebody decided. And you can't believe how many Apple fans will believe in the Apple status quo until Apple changes their minds and reverses position. And then all of a sudden, those same people will be like, man, this makes total sense. This is amazing.
Right click.
What I do wonder is there something... Apple has, generally speaking, higher resolution screens on their computers than PC manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
iMac, 5K, there's no such really... Well, I mean, there are, but there's nobody use... 4K is the most people use on PCs for the most part.
I mean, the Microsoft Surface that I had, that was a pretty high-res screen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying... But they don't also sell in the same volumes that Apple does. Like, right. I guess what I'm saying is the only thing I can think of, and I don't know it to be the case, and it may not be an issue whatsoever, the only thing I can think of is can they get the high-resolution screens that they use in a touchscreen in a way that doesn't interfere with the way it looks or the way it functions? But barring that, no, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do it. That doesn't mean they will, and I honestly have no idea if they will. But there's no reason not to.
The biggest reason for me for having a touchscreen is just like signing documents and stuff. You know, sometimes it's just nice to be able to like do that right on the screen. I guess I don't even know nowadays, like with a Mac, the trackpads have gotten pretty big. So can you like sign your signature on a trackpad and have that translate to like a PDF document?
I'm sure you can. But signing thing with a finger is never.
Well, that's. Like, I have some capacitive styluses, I don't know, which, you know, I use from time to time. And, like, right now, like, if I have to sign something like DocuSign or whatnot, I usually end up doing it on the phone. But even with a giant, you know, giant, quote-unquote, phone that I have right now, it's still not as good as being able to do it on, say, a 12 or a 14-inch, you know, touch screen.
Did you say Lucy in the Sty with diamonds?
Lucy in the Sky, in the stylus with diamonds, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah,
so I don't know. I think they should do it because if you don't want to use it, don't use it. If you do want to use it once in a while, like I have a touchscreen laptop at work. I don't usually use the touchscreen, but once in a while I do for pinching and zooming, for scrolling, stuff like that. Yeah. And it's really nice to have when I want to, and it does not matter whatsoever for the use of the laptop any other time. And I don't know why. I don't know why you wouldn't, but... Honestly, right now, I would be tempted to say doesn't seem very likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough that I've even looked at like the little Microsoft Surface tablets. I forget even what they called now, but they've got like a small one. It's like a 12-inch or so. And I used one, you know, it was over a year ago. I tried one out at the nearby Micro Center. And I was like, you know, it's actually pretty decent. But, you know, I want to get back to Mac OS. I really like working in the Mac operating system, in the Mac OS environment. So I really would like to have that again.
How often are you signing stuff?
Not often, but it's just, you know, when I have to, that's a nice thing. So, you know, so anyway.
I guess where I'm going with this is I wouldn't buy a Mac and an iPad for this reason, but if you're using a Mac and you have an iPad, you could do it with Sidecar.
Of course, yes.
But that's not the solution. That's just something that's available to people who happen to have both.
I think Tim Cook would beg to differ.
Well, he probably would, but.
Well, everybody should have a Mac and an iPad and an iPhone.
Is that Eeyore or is that Tim Cook?
That was me doing a really bad Tim Cook impression. I don't have enough input. I need more Tim Cook sample data to be able to do a good Tim Cook impression.
It was a pretty good Eeyore, though.
I'll just buy an iPad. Not that it matters. All right. On that note, I think I've pretty much, my beer is dry.
My beer's long gone. I don't even know where my cup is. Oh, it's over there across the room. Yeah, I don't know.
So I think we should put a bow on this one.
I think we should put a bow on it. A touchscreen bow.
So if people want to find us, Scott.
Oh, no, you ask me this every time. Well, I know from my friend Peter and his use of the phrase friendswithbeer.com and his insistence upon it that friendswithbeer.com is a good place to go. And we also have a Twitter account. We have a Twitter
account. A Twitter account.
Yeah, we do have one of them. And I think beer.tweetback.us will get you there. Let me type that and find out. This is exciting. Oh, yeah, look, beer.tweetback.us. That'll take you to twitter.com/friendswbeerpod.
So just before we give Eretria. Eretria, the company of Eretria, is the owner of the .er top-level domain.
Oh, there is a .er.
There is a .er, and the registry is with Eritel, Eretria Telecom.
Seriously, they're the only ones that sell that?
They are the first ones that comes up. When I look in Wikipedia, they are the only ones listed.
That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, sure. I mean, countries that are small enough, they can get away with a single registrar. Why not?
Right, but usually, well, I guess, usually other domain resellers eventually carry all the other country.
Perhaps, yeah.
Maybe.
So depending. I'm waiting for, here it goes. Eritrea Telecom has apply for services, apply online, enterprise services. I don't see domain names. That's too bad. Because it would be nice if we could try to buy friendswithb.er.
No, it has to have two E's, so it'd be friends with... Oh, I see. I get it. Yeah.
Remember. Friends with B.
B.
Dot er.
Yep. So I think that instead of Peter and Scottville or Scott and Peterville, whatever you called it, I think we should have friends with Beerville.
Beerville.
Friends with Beerville.
Sounds great. Let's get right on that.
All right. Sounds good. Bye, listeners.